And occur not through, what's the verse today? 47?
No, not 47. It's early. Text 8.
Okay.
On page 13, well, of our books.
Text number is?
Text number 8 in chapter 10. Amantriya.
Amantriya, taking permission, cha, and abhyanugyataha, abhyanugyataha, being permitted, parishvajya, embracing. Abhivadya.
Bowing down at the
feet. Tam. Unto Maharaj Yudhishthira. Aruroha. Ascending. Ratam. The chariot. Kaishchit. By someone. Parishvakta. Being embraced. Abhivaditaha, being offered obeisances. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam, devim sarasatim vyasam, tato jaya mudiraye, amantra chabyanu jyata, mantra chabyanu jyata, amantra chabyanu jyata, Amantriya chabyanu gyataha. Parishvajya vivadyatam. Parishvajya vivadyatam. Parishvajya vivadyatam. Aruroha ratam kaishchit. Aruroha katam. Excuse me. Aruroha ratam kaishchit.
Aruroha ratam kaishchit.
Parishvakto bivadita.
Parishvakto bivadita.
Parishvakto bivadita.
Parishvakto bivadita.
Amantriya chabyanu gyataha.
Amantriya chabyanu gyataha.
Parishvajya bivadyatam.
Parishvajya
bivadyatam. Aruroha ratam kaishchit. Parishvakto bivadita. Amantya chabyanu gyataha. Parishvajya bivadyatam. Aruroha ratam kaishchit. Parishvakto bivadita. Amantriya chabyanu gyata.
Parishvajya vivadyatam.
Parishvajya vivadyatam.
Aruroha ratam kaishchit.
Aruroha ratam kaishchit.
Parishvakto vivaditaha.
Parishvakto vivaditaha. Amantriya chabyanu gyata. Parishvajya vivadyatam. Aruroha ratam kaishchit. Parishvakto vivaditaha. Translation. Afterwards, when the Lord asked permission to depart and the king gave it, The Lord offered his respects to Maharaj Yudhishthira by bowing down at his feet, and the king embraced him. After this, the Lord, being embraced by others and receiving their obeisances, got into his chariot. Translation. Afterwards, when the Lord asked permission to depart, and the king gave it, the Lord offered his respects to Maharaj Yudhishthira by bowing down at his feet, and the king embraced him. After this, the Lord, being embraced by others and receiving their obeisances, got into his chariot. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Yudhishthira was the elder cousin of Lord Krishna, and therefore, while departing from him, the Lord bowed down at the king's feet. The king embraced him as a younger brother, although the king knew perfectly well that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord takes pleasure when some of his devotees accept him as less important in terms of love. No one is greater than or equal to the Lord, but he takes pleasure in being treated as younger than his devotees. These are all transcendental pastimes of the Lord. The impersonalist cannot enter into the supernatural roles played by the devotee of the Lord. Thereafter, Bhima and Arjuna embraced the Lord because they were of the same age. But Nakula and Sahadev bowed down before the Lord because they were younger than he. We'll sing the Mangalacharana prayers, which you'll find in your songbook. And just so you know, there are some extra prayers at the end on the front and back pages of the insert that's in the book. Vande ham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrachatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Dham Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitanscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Varshaba Navi Devi Daitaya Kripavdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupa Nuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Sarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbaba Bomestam Nirdesa Sajanapriya Vaishnava Sarva Boma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Chakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvise Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Mater Gati Matsarva Swapadambojo Radha Manana Mohano Divyadrindaranya Kalpa Drumata Srimad Ratna Gana Singhasanasto Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prishtadibhi Sevya Manusmarami Srimad Rasharasarambi Vamshivata Tatastitaha Karshan Venus Vanir Gopir Gopinatha Sriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindabhanishwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsi Devai Priyai Keshavasya Cha Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi Satyavatai Namo Namaha Sri Nrisimha Jai Nrisimha Jai Jai Narasimha Prahlada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparadi Chakashchana Parihare Pilajame Kimbruve Purushottama Yuvati Nam Yata Yuni Yunam Cha Yuvatau Yata Mano biramate tadvan, mano me ramatam tai. Bhumaus kadita paranam, bhumireva valambanam. Tai jata paranam, tvameva sharanam prabho. Govinda balabe radhe, prateye tvamaham sada. Tvadiyam iti janatu, govindo mam tvaya saha. Radhe Vrindavanadishe Karuna Vrittavahani Kripaya Nijapadabja Dasyam Mayam Pradiyatam Vande Nanda Vrjastrinam Padarenam Abhikshna Saha Yasam Harikato Gitam Punati Bhavanatrayam Namastrestam Manamapi Sachiputram Matrasarupam Rupam chantasya gajamaruparim maturim goshtavatim Radha kundam girivaramoho radhika madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tandatosmi Adadhana stridam dante idam dyache puna puna Srimad rupa padam boja rajoham syam bhave bhave Hantaya Madhira Bala Haridasya Varyo Yadrama Krishna Charana Svarasha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Gana Yostayo Yat Paniya Suya Vasakanda Nakanda Mulai Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Amantra Chabyanudyata Parishvajyabhipadyatam Aruroha Ratam Kaishchit Parishvakto Bivaditaha Vajidva Bivaditaha. Afterwards, when the Lord asked permission to depart and the king gave it, the Lord offered his respects to Maharaj Yudhishthira by bowing down at his feet, and the king embraced him. After this, the Lord, being embraced by others and receiving their obeisances, got into his chariot. One time when Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk, more and more devotees came, and there was a very animated discussion during Prabhupada was very engaging that morning. devotees were participating, as they often did on the morning walk, in offering challenges or asking questions, and Prabhupada would reply to them as he was walking, and sometimes he would stop and answer the questions. And as Prabhupada came to the end of the walk, as he often did when he went somewhere like to Venice Beach or some other area that was nice to walk in, there would be a car waiting for him at the end, and then he would get in the car and drive off. So when Prabhupada got to the car before he left all the devotees, he broke the conversation they were speaking, that they were engaged in, and he noted, he said, "You see, this is Ananda." He said, "Now more and more devotees have come here, and we've engaged in conversation, and we're all together." And he said, "This creates Ananda." He said, "If I was by myself, walking only by myself, that Ananda wouldn't be possible. It's possible because of the relationships of the devotees." Eko Bahushyam. And for that reason, say the Vedas, the Lord has expanded himself unlimitedly. The one has become many. Although he is one, he is also different, inconceivably. At the same time, one and different. And the small parts and parcels of the Lord, mamai vamsho jiva loke, Krishna claims them as his angas, or his parts. So if you think about rasa for a minute, what it means, relationship, it's everything. It's what everyone's looking for and what everyone's working for, says Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion introduction, that a man works hard at his job. Why? So he can come home and be with his family and enjoy some relationship. Doesn't work hard for just making the money. That's nothing. As we've proved before in this assembly, if we gave Vipul a big mansion and we gave him cars and we gave him beautiful furniture and everything he wanted, except no other people and no other animals, no other pets, no other plants, then after 3 days, he would feel morose and sad. And one green parrot who flew, one mockingbird flew into his palace. He would become fascinated by that mockingbird. And he would develop a relationship with it, because it's natural. Everyone wants to have that relationship, rasa. If you look into anyone's eyes, you can marvel over this at any second, actually. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ascharyavat pashtati kashcharenam, Ascharyavat varati tatayava chanya. He's noting that the soul is Ascharya, Ascharyavat, that it is amazing. What does that word mean, amazing? You look at something and you're astounded. What does it mean, exact definition? Can we look it up in the Webster's? What does amazing mean? To be amazed by something, it means it's practically, just to paraphrase some kind of general translation, you could look at it forever maybe, or there's a mystery in seeing it that will captivates your attention, that you could continue to enter into it without cessation. And the soul is amazing. As I'm looking at Vijay right now, I'm looking into his eyes, and he's looking back at me, and now he's reacting in some other way. There's some rasa, because I'm sitting here, he's sitting there, I look at him, he looks at me, we smile back and forth. There's movement of his eyebrows, there's movement of the way his mouth is, right? And there's a way in which we've reacted. He's looked at me, I've put my attention to him, he's reacted in a certain way, and there's a relationship just in our glance, between our glances. In this Bharatanatyam dancing, you know, they have all kinds of gestures and movements, and the eyebrows mean something. This, you can come close to this understanding of rasa through poetry and art, actually. That's the purpose of it, to understand the rasa of Krishna. And to come into that position, as we read in the Sri Brahma Samhita, Sriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataravo. This is a description of this rasa in the spiritual world, how the dance is going on, this rasa dance, where there's an exchange between the Supreme and his living entities, his parts and parcels, his angas, who are separate also at the same time and have their own will and have their own way of expressing and their own way of feeling. And if you you can experience ignorance. Ignorance means ignorance. Sometimes in my neighborhood, I live in a very white bread neighborhood in Burlingame, California. And the suburbs are very dry and sterile place compared to, say, you know, walking in a village somewhere where kids are playing in the street. Like in Vrindavan, everywhere you walk, there's kids playing marbles. You know, you have to step over them to get somewhere. And you see animals everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's engagement. And Vraj actually means, you know, everyone's going here, there, and everywhere. And at every second, wherever you look, there's somebody doing something. There's something, some kind of engagement of living entities going on. In my neighborhood, very quiet. People go in, lock the door behind them, put on the alarm. And then very few people walking on the street. Very rare to see kids playing. This is the suburbs. It's a insular kind of society. And I notice sometimes if I'm going for my walk on the street, could somebody get Srinivas Prabhu and Asan? We're walking on the street. If I pass somebody else going the other way, there's always this conundrum, probably from both sides. Should I look up? Should I look in their eyes? What if I make eye contact? What will happen? Will they misinterpret it? Will they think that I mean something by it, that I look at them? Will they think I'm going to kill them later on? Maybe. All these implications come from a glance. How can that all come from one glance? Because I'm a living entity, and there's great meaning in just a glance. And there's also meaning in a non-glance. If I'm walking by and that person averts his eyes, I avert my eyes to the other section. We're in close proximity. You can feel the soul walking by as a biological entity. Also, that soul's living within a machine that's maintaining some heat and homeostasis, and walking by the other direction, you can feel the force field of that energy. And you can also feel that I'm averting my eyes, he's averting his eyes. We've made a choice. We're passing each other and we're not going to look. Even worse, get into an elevator. Two people, you have to go up 4 floors, 5 floors, 10 floors, you're in the elevator. He's over there, I'm over here. Should I look? What if I look? What are the implications? I look at him, he looks at me. Now we have to have some relationship, some rasa. So rasa is meaningful, it's powerful. You can feel it every second, it's actually what we are. We're a unit of exchange of rasa. And that exchange is going on in the spiritual world in a very profound way. The material world covers over this sense of rasa, and Krishna says, vita raga bhaya krodha, that living entities become discouraged, actually, because of their involvement in with the three modes of material nature. The rasas here become discouraging because they're temporary, for one thing. And Krishna says, yehi samsparshaja bhoga, dukha yona evate, adyantavanta kontiya, na teshu ramate buddha. All our relationships here are tainted because they have a beginning and an end. So Krishna says that because of that, they become miserable. That a wise person actually, of course, he's talking in this verse about our engagement of the senses, but it applies also to our relationships in the material world, because we extend our heart, because we give ourselves to others fully. And then that relationship is terminated, then we become discouraged. And therefore, there's bhaya, fear, that if I enter the spiritual world, the spiritual relationship, what if it's that way too? And Prabhupada gives the example that a man who's diseased, he has tubes coming out of his body from different holes to maintain himself. And eating is painful. Sleeping is painful. Breathing is painful. And someone comes and says, what is it? How are you? How are you? I'm fine. And he also asks, later on, he says, you'll be better. And soon we'll have you up and walking. Soon you'll be out there going around again like you were before. And in that painful state, he's thinking, how could I ever live anything but a life of pain? Because now I'm feeling pain from breathing, from eating, from just lying here, I feel pain. So then he thinks, maybe the problem is being alive. One devotee was telling me once he became so depressed, he said that I didn't want to kill myself. I wanted to cease to exist. I was so depressed that I didn't just want to kill myself. I wanted to cease to exist. And this is a problem. This is because of our failed rasas in the material world that I may desire to cease to exist. So Krishna says you have to give up this tendency. And also the tendency to pursue temporary relationships and be mad after the temporary. You have to give that up. And also, he said, there's a condition of the heart and the mind in material life in which I think, because it's all so confusing, I can't understand the whole lot of it. Therefore, I become angry and say there's nothing. Because I've gotten counterfeit money a couple times, then I conclude it's all counterfeit. There's nothing real. So the answer to that is the positive. That comes in this vibration that comes from Krishna's flute, from the spiritual world. When he gives this sound emanation that Brahma hears, it's all encouraging. This vibration, hearing from the spiritual world, it gives impetus. We say in the Gayatri Mantras that we're meditating, among other mantras in the series of mantras we get in initiation. There's a mantra in which we meditate upon the spiritual master and how the spiritual master is always enlivened in Krishna consciousness and how I'm getting strength from that, seeing how he's enlivened in Krishna consciousness. And Krishna is enlivening everyone from within the heart and sending the vibration from the spiritual world. That one little vibration, just a, you know, imagine Brahma, he's sitting there morose in the material world trying to find some kind of standing, any kind of inkling about who he is and how he's supposed to move in this world. And in darkness, then he hears tapasya, tapa. He performs austerity. Then he hears Krishna's flute. And that flute blast, just that little, a few notes, imagine that it's not from this world, it's from the spiritual world where the rasas are eternal. Where, as we were saying before, then it's not inebriation, but it's a kind of intoxication that it's like a heroin addict's dream. That the more you take, you know, the better it is, and there's no bad side effects. Just hearing that flute, just hearing the sound from the spiritual world, little bit, one note from Krishna's flute, that the soul becomes encouraged, enlivened, and Brahma becomes awake to the fact that this exists. The spiritual world is there. Parastasmat tu bhavo nyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana yaksak sarvishu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. Krishna is proclaiming this openly in the Bhagavad Gita. There is a world like that. It exists. It's full of light. It's never destroyed when this world's destroyed. Imagine that. Everything in our experience here, our relationships, our bodies, our wealth, everything that we hold on to here diminishes and is gradually wrested from our hands. But in the spiritual world, it's the opposite. It's eternal. It goes on forever. The material world, bhutva bhutva praliyate, constantly it's being destroyed. Sahasra yuga paryantam arhat yad brahmano vitu ratrim yuga sahasrantam teho ratra vidojanaha. This is documented by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, how this world is going in cycles over and over and over again and being destroyed one after another. And in the spiritual world, there is a nature of yakto shara ityuktas tamahu paramam gatim yam prapyana nivartante taddhama paramam mama. It's not like this. It's not destroyed. It's supreme nature. And even when everything in this world is destroyed, it remains the same. The dham stays the same. And once one goes there, one never has to return to this material world. This is the good news. And what is that spiritual world? It's full of variegatedness and it's full of rasa. And we hear about it here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is enjoying relationships with his devotees and how with Yudhishthira, he's taking permission, even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's actually a very sweet thing that the Lord, he's all powerful, he's fully independent, but he enjoys this rasa of taking permission from his devotee, of Yudhishthira, that he can leave. And please give him your permission. He's all powerful personality of Godhead. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj, in the outset, describes how Krishna is more enchanted and pleased when his intimate devotees in Vrindavan approach him in a sulky mood and berate him even, than he is with the reverent hymns given by Brahmins who are reciting the Vedas. He's more pleased with that rasa. And we can experience that ourselves in this world with your intimate friends sometimes. Those who you're very close with, you could even cut each other down. Right? The ones you're most close with, there's no Aishwarya. You're so closely tied that you can make a joke at the other one's expense, or say something to berate the other person, and they would laugh. They would actually laugh, and it would fill their heart with happiness that, oh, you just cut me down in a really witty way. You know, that's closeness. I've noticed this myself with my friends, that we're so close that we enjoy saying things to each other that might be demeaning in a subtle way, like, yeah, right, sure. And then the other person gets it, and they laugh, and there's some happiness. This is the happiness of life in friendship. That's there. Whereas you might have a relationship with some other friend, devotee, and then there's more this Aishwarya. So you haven't gotten that close yet, and therefore there's some reverence there. And therefore, yes, sir. Oh, no, you're right, Prabhu. Absolutely, 100%. And there's a line you don't want to cross because you're not sure. If I went that far, would he take it as an offense? Would he think that I was actually thought that I was superior to him or something like that? And therefore, it would damage the relationship. You know, there's trepidation in entering into that. But in intimate, close relationships, that's cast aside. These are extant in the spiritual world where Krishna has relationships with friends where he can wrestle. And they'll wrestle him to the ground and then say, you're not so big, man. You think you're so big. I beat you yesterday. I'll beat you today. I'll beat you tomorrow. And Krishna, he's relishing that relationship with his devotees. And that goes on. He's surrounded every bird, every tree, every plant, his mother, his father, his friends, all different varieties of friends that have very subtle different relationships with Krishna in the spiritual world. And like a huge concert hall, when you go before, I saw when I got off in Chicago O'Hare Airport, we were stopping over there on our way to New Vrindavan, and part of the plane was filled up with some kind of a symphony orchestra, and all the musicians got off with their instruments, and they were standing around waiting to see where their next flight was going to leave from. And all kinds of characters, you know, musicians, real characters, guy with a beard, wearing a suit and tennis shoes, carrying his oboe, and, you know, another very proper, pristine woman with her violin case, and varieties of people coming off with all their different instruments. And each instrument has a totally different makeup and function. You know, the violin's completely different from an oboe. And when they all sit down together, all the different personalities, all the different instruments, and then there's a conductor, and what's the goal? It's to bring them all together, and then, you know, you can become completely exalted in your heart when you come before an orchestra, and then even in the warm up when you hear them, you know, something's going to happen. You know, they're all getting ready to collaborate, and then one note, you know, that comes out of all of the instruments together and the percussion and all the different personalities all on one page, and then there's something that lifts the heart, lifts the soul. That's why people love to hear music like that. So the spiritual world's like that too. This Sreya, Kanta, Kanta, Parama, Purusha, Kalpa, Taravo, Dhruma, Bhumish, Chintamani, Ghanamayis, Toyamamritam. The music's going on. The rhythm's going on. Different rhythms. Some people, different rhythm over here, different, but it all mixes together. Even the rhythm, it's described how the gopis, when they are churning the butter in the early morning hours and the sun is just tinging the sky red, and they're singing songs about Govinda, and their bangles are churning, and their bodies are moving, and there's a rhythm to it. And then it comes into the sky, and their voices are so filled with love for Krishna, it mixes into the air, and the reciter in the Bhagavatam says, that sound vibration can purify the three worlds, just by hearing that sound vibration. Rhythm is the most primal of all moving forces in the universe. Anywhere you go, you can go to China, you can go to Africa, you can go to America and all different parts, even Iowa. And if you start some rhythm section, people will come over and they'll say, yes, rhythm, I can relate to it. Their feet will begin to move. So there's this rhythm in the spiritual world where all the disparate living entities with their different instruments of affection for Krishna come together, and it all harmonizes into a sound that overwhelms the soul. It carries one away on this river of ecstasy. And that's what's being described in the Sri Brahma Samhita. And this is what's taking place in all of Krishna's pastimes as he relates with his devotees in various ways. These are his pastimes. This is what Krishna lives for, is that his devotees. Sarva hridayam mahayam sarunam hridayam toham madanyat tena jananti. That manang eva manorapi. I forget the last line. You find that? Sarva hridayam mahayam sarunam hridayam toham madanyat tena jananti. Need the last line. The last line says, not even for a second, not even for a scintilla of a second, does Krishna ever forget his devotees, or are they ever out of his heart, and vice versa. Naham tebyo managapi. Not even manag, not even for a brief minute does Krishna forget the devotees, or do the devotees forget Krishna. They're always absorbed in Krishna. And this is what goes on. This is the entire purpose of Krishna's creation, to exchange love with his devotees. This is why he expands himself, and why he expands the material world even. Yes jaika nishvasita kala mata valambya jivanti loma vilaja jagananata vishnur mahan sa iha yasya kala vishesho govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. His breathing is going on so that he can expand himself into the universes. Why? So the living entities can come out again and learn to express themselves and relate to him again, so that they can reawaken their relationship with him. He wants that love of every living entity. This is his nature, is to exchange rasa. He's the king of all rasa, and that's what he lives for. So when we come into the life of devotional service, into the life of the Bhagavatam, and we enter into the vibration of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we enter into this life of rasa. And it goes on many different levels. There's rasa to be learned with the devotees. And even in our sadhana bhakti, Rupa Goswami gives us Krishnaika ye Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranatibhishcha bhajantamisham shushushaya bhajana vignamananyamanya nindari shunya hridamipsita sangalabhya. He tells us there are different, just as Krishna is relating to devotees in different ways, there's ways that devotees relate to devotees according to different positions. This goes to the nature of the spiritual world, how we relate at different levels to different devotees. For instance, anyone who chants Hare Krishna, how do we relate?
Respect them in our minds.
Yeah, we should feel gratitude, actually. How can your mind go to somebody and show respect unless you feel gratitude for them? If you don't have knowledge, if you have knowledge, you will feel gratitude for someone who chants Hare Krishna. Aho bhatashwa pachato gariyam. This is an exclamation by Devahuti in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho! Aho means, it's like she's expressing herself, what a wonderful thing it is. She's expressing this gratitude for anyone who can say Hare Krishna, even on the tip of their tongue. Yesterday, we stopped off before the big Maha Artik Yajna. We performed yesterday what I think may have been the biggest Artik Yajna event in the history of America, maybe America, definitely of California, and certainly of Cupertino. 30 artiks performed, practically simultaneously in one place yesterday for Gaur Nitai and Srila Prabhupada. Who was there last night? Just a few of us were there. We had... Anyway, I'm going to get distracted. Where was I? Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. Oh, so oho batashwa pachato garyan, that she's exclaiming how wonderful it is that even the lowest person in the universe, that if they can say Hare Krishna with the tip of their tongue, then she's considering they've performed all sacred baths in every sacred river, every kund and lake that you could possibly perform. They've performed all the Vedic rituals. They've read the Vedas three times and understood them. This is how she's saying it. Ho Bhatta Shwab, the lowest dog eater who can say Hare Krishna, that person is the greatest of all people. And I know where I was going. We stopped on the way to the yajna at this store called Thai Silk, because for the yajna we needed, you know, 35 flowers. We needed, we had 16 artik, full artik trays. We needed, of course, 35 flowers. We needed 35 handkerchiefs. We needed 35 everything to perform the yajna. So we stopped at the Thai Silk store to buy 35 handkerchiefs to offer to the Lord, fresh ones. And we went in there. It was myself and Bhakti Daniel and Parthasarathi Prabhu. We went inside that store. It was very auspicious, actually. When we got to Los Altos, that's where the store is, called Thai Silk, we pulled up at the sidewalk, and I was just saying to the devotees, this is one of the places where we'll perform Harinam when we expand our Harinam party unlimitedly all over the Bay Area. I was thinking, Los Altos. We've never done Sankirtan there before, as far as I know, and it looked like a nice place. So as soon as we got out of the car, I was just saying we should have Kirtan in this place. We opened the doors, got on the sidewalk, and somebody on the opposite side of the street was playing a pair of kartals. It was an Indian store, like some variety shop, and the guy just happened to be taking a break, and he was standing there playing, joking around with his friends, playing the kartals. And it was an immediate sign from Krishna that this is a prime Sankirtan spot. And then we went in the store, and there were Vietnamese ladies in there, and they saw us as monks walking in the store, and they went crazy. They were like, who are you? They were asking questions. They were practically scrambling over the desk to find out. They saw Bhakti Daniel and they said, who's that, you know, young monk? You know, how old is he? And they wanted to know everything. They wouldn't let us leave the store practically. They took huge discount on the, they gave us a big discount on the thing. It's like, oh, forget it. You know, we don't make any profit. And they took off the price, everything down. And then I brought them a Bhagavad Gita back and we showed them the mantra inside the store. And we were just appreciating afterwards how much enthusiasm they had. And when we showed them the mantra, I said, I'll bring you a book back. They said, no, stay here and teach us everything. Don't go away. We don't want book. We want you. So when we came in and we showed them the mantra, she said, so I should say this over and over and over again? And I said, yeah, good idea. Keep saying it. And so Devahuti saying someone has this enthusiasm or even just says it once casually, we should understand how exalted is the holy name of God. It's non-different from Krishna. If we have appreciation ourselves, we'll see that person and we'll say, aho, bhatashwa, bhatchato, gariyan. There's nothing like this person. Our mind, our gratitude will go to them. So anyone who walks in this door or outside this that says Hare Krishna, Rupa Goswami says, your mind should offer them all respects. You should see them as the greatest among many. And you'll know this is true. You go to Vrindavan, if you go there and stay for some time, like during Kartik, best time to go to Vrindavan. Don't get me started. You go to Vrindavan in Kartik, and you stay for a month, and you sit down tight, and don't have any other business. Just hear and chant from the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, chant Hare Krishna, be with the devotees, talk about it, go around Govardhan Hill. And then you'll notice how the world is different. You'll drive from that place, that sacred place where the vibration is always there. You may even forget that it's there, but it's permeating your soul and every cell in your body. And then you leave the Dham. You're driving in a crazy taxi with no safety belts, going back towards Delhi. And when you pass the demarcation where the Dham actually ends, you'll feel yourself becoming affected, that you're entering into a different world. There's a heaviness that comes. You get to Delhi. And in Delhi, the Radhe Shyam's gone. In Vrindavan, everyone, Radhe Shyam. Everywhere you go, Radhe Shyam, Hare Krishna. Everyone you see, every person, practically every dog will say that to you. Everyone in the Dham is the dogs are lying in the dust of the Dham. That's all they do all day. But then you get to Delhi and the Radhe Shyam is gone. And then, you know, you look at people, Radhe Shyam? No Radhe Shyam. All business. Back to the material world. And then you can become very morose. It's gone. And you realize that there's nectar in that village. There's nectar in that place where the vibration is going on, where everyone's living for that huge concert to please Krishna, to rush into the temple room where Krishna and Balaram are, to push each other out of the way. Even in the pushing, there's ecstasy. You go to Jayapur for the Mangal Aarti, and you'll experience what it's like, near-death experience every Mangal Aarti. Yes, because you don't know. You read all the time in the paper, people get crushed in these huge crowds in India, right? You read about it? Stampedes, crushing incidents, happens all the time. No big deal. Happens in Puri at the Rath Yatra all the time. Ambulances come in and out, just take them out. And so you're in there in the Mangal Aarti, 3,000 people, and they're pushing in to see the Lord when the curtains open. And in your mind, half the mind's thinking, this is ecstasy. Other half of the mind's thinking, I could die right now. better be here than any other place. Because everyone's surging forward to reach forward, just to, you know, reach their hand out from 100 yards away to go close to the lamp that came out. And the whole crowd moves as one crowd. And your air goes out of your lungs being crushed in that crowd. But there's ecstasy in that. Because transference of the feeling of enthusiasm for the people to reach out just to see Krishna for 1 second, to get one drop of mercy from him, that goes through your whole body and becomes part of your soul and part of your devotional service. So in our mind, we should know that anyone who can say Hare Krishna, they're the greatest of all, exalted amongst all other people who are walking the earth. Then he says, those who have taken it seriously as a regulator principle of life to chant Hare Krishna, and they've taken initiation into the process, means they took a vow, like they got married. They're no longer just dating. They said, okay, dating's over, now I'm serious. We're doing the whole thing now, and I'm taking initiation, I'm taking a vow. And that person said, you should get down on the ground and offer obeisances before that person. With your head on the ground, you should offer obeisance to that person. They're so exalted, they've taken that vow. Then Rupa Goswami says, if you find someone who's initiated, been chanting long time, and that they've become very advanced in devotional service, you should try to be around them all the time. You should give them everything. You should render service. So there's gradations. There's ways that we relate to different devotees. Prabhupada noted this once. He was driving in the car with other disciples, and he was noting how we're all in the same car, but there's deference showed to devotees at different levels. Even though I'm in the same car sitting on the same seat, he said that still I'm the spiritual master, and then there's disciples, and there's differences, and you respect the differences, and in that there's rasa, actually. And Krishna is showing this in his relationship with Yudhisthira and with Nakula and Sahadev, and that this is the substance of life, this variety and this exchange between the devotees. So we're meant to develop this in our lives. And this is something that's very extraordinary and very sweet to learn how to relate to the devotees, to learn how to relate to the Lord, and to see at every moment how life is meant for pleasing the Lord through relationships with his devotees, through service, and through keeping contact with him also in a mood of service in every minute. And gradually, our particular way of serving the Lord and serving the devotees will become revealed. We have a niche in the spiritual world that's uniquely meant for us. Nitya nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. It's eternal and it's completely satisfying, and this is the goal of life, to revive this and go for it throughout our life. And we'll never be disappointed by that. Whereas in the material world, we'll be constantly disappointed by our missing the eternal relationship that we have with Krishna and the eternal variety of the spiritual world. Om Tat Sat. Thank you very much. Go Premanande. So now we're going to have the Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada, and right after that we're having prasadam, and then right after that, for those of you who have already registered, there's a Kitchens certification course that will be held at Sankirtan Central at Rakshit Jariwala's house. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gopremanande Haribol.